Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank God I made it to the third hour. We got reinforcements in. We got Sister Nancy Hitz carrying on, and we got your brother and my brother, the bitter ender himself, Gene Andrews. He's coming in. He brought fresh replacements. He's got a brand new sword. I hope this one holds up. They've yet to find a sword that will hold up under this carnage that he wreaks on these Yankees, man. But anyway, he's back in. He's going to join in. He's teaming up with Sister Nancy Hitt, and they've got some it's probably going to make you mad. Go get you a drink of bourbon, Kentucky's best. Maybe get you something to relax you a little bit, because they've got some stuff that's really going to, if you got an ounce of Southern in you, it's really going to get you pissed off. So how are you doing tonight, Brother Gene? Bitter Ender.
Doing great. Glad to hear from y'all again.
Good to hear. I know you're ready to rock and roll.
South of us, so we're pretty lucky here. But boy, the people in Alabama and Georgia really got torn up. So sorry to hear about that. And we called some of our friends down there, and they're okay. So, Selma, Alabama, really got hit, the downtown. And Nancy had emailed me about some friends of ours, and they live out in the county. And I called them Thursday night, and they said, "No, we just got some wind and rain, but." Her Pat's husband had to go down there and help his friend guard a house, his house that had been torn up and their street had been torn up, keep all the looters from coming in there and stealing everything they could get their filthy hands on. So, yeah, you can always count on our ethnic people to step up to the occasion. So, anyway.
They steal flowers off of a grave, man. They really would. I mean, I just can't understand that. But, you know, Bran was supposed to be on tonight, coming in on the second hour some with Sister Nancy, but he couldn't make it because he had a little damage that knocked one of his fences down. He said he had to fix the fence before the cows found out that the fence was down. I think one of his outbuildings got torn up, but he said that just about 300 yards from his house was total devastation. So Rand, God was with him. He dodged a bullet. He really did. So, but people, keep Rand and our brothers and sisters in Alabama in your prayers, because that was one hellacious tornado. Like the bitter ender just said, Selma was just really ripped pretty hard. But anyway, people, I'm going to shut up and turn it back over to Sister Nancy. Sister Nancy, bring the bitter ender in. Introduce him in to the stuff you've got planned, and y'all tear it up, man. I'm signing out.
Okay, Eddie. I think basically what I had planned was to discuss this attempt to remove the Confederate Arlington Monument that was designed by Moses Ezekiel. And the battle that we're involved in, hopefully we'll win on this one, but I'm not sure what's going to happen. But we can thank this no good Senator Elizabeth Warren, who added to the defense bill the forced removal of Confederate names from military forts, and of course anything really Confederate. Apparently, this we can also blame this on Republican Jim Emhoff. He must have also allowed her to add this amendment to the defense bill. I'm assuming it was last year. If anybody wants to write to this no good Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, she is at 309 Hart Senate Office Building in Washington, D.C., 20510. I mean, I think we need to let some of these people know that we realize who is responsible for the desecration of our culture, our South, our heroic Southern heroes, our suffering people, our suffering soldiers. And to me, it's a mockery who they put on what they call the naming commission to select new names for military forts, they put enemies of the South on the naming commission, such as General Cy, not sure exactly how to pronounce his name, Sidul. He's apparently originally a Virginian. He wrote an anti-Southern book. This is a person who's on the naming commission. He wrote an anti-Southern book called Robert E. Lee and Me. And within the content of the book, he said, basically, we need to eradicate the Confederacy from American memory. This is someone who is currently working in Hamilton College in New York. And I do have his email address. But they say that this naming commission has now done its dirty work. The other person who is on this naming commission is someone I have called about the McMichaels. He is Austin Scott of Georgia. He was a representative from Georgia, a Republican, who worked to remove the symbol of the Confederate flag off of the Georgia state flag. These are the people who are going to make decisions about new names for military forts and, I guess, structures that need to be taken down according to their viewpoint of the South. So, you know, and another thing I'd read recently, today, that when they had to, they had called a meeting, I think in October, for speakers to voice their opinion about the removal, destruction, or whatever happens, ultimately happens with the magnificent Arlington Monument, Confederate Monument. The people who signed up at the last minute, they called it off and said they were not even going to allow speakers. So what does it matter what we think or what we say? I've always said that they set the rules. They don't care really what we think. We can speak for a minute. Maybe they'll let you speak for 3 minutes. In this case, they did not even allow the speakers who had signed up to speak about the Arlington Monument. They did not even allow them to speak, period.
Look what happened in Charlottesville with our speakers.
Yeah. Well, well, comrade, Nancy, this is way we work in Soviet Union. There will be no opposition to Communist Party. Communist Party dominates everything. And they only appoint their flunkies that know how they're going to vote to get on the committee. And you have to learn the way of communism. And that is the government that we have in this country now. So it's important to learn that.
Well, we've always said that about the Jefferson County School Board. It was a rubber stamp for the the leadership. Whatever they wanted to do, whatever they agreed behind bars, behind closed doors, or whatever, they all of the members just rubber stamped it. There was nobody that complained publicly about anything.
No, they don't, and they know. Well, see, here's the whole problem. The problem was the state of Mississippi, and what happened there was they had a referendum that everybody in the state, every registered voter in the state in Mississippi, could vote on keeping the Confederate flag as part of the state flag of Mississippi.
Oh, right.
And it
that.
Passed overwhelmingly to keep the flag. Even the blacks was about 50-50 in black districts. You know, they said, we got a lot more problems here than a state flag. I mean, you know, so they learned that the communists that run this country and the rhino Republicans and the Democratic Communist Party, they learned their lesson there. There will never, ever be a cultural vote for us again, because they know how the majority of people in the South feel about our history, about our flags, about our monuments, the names of our bases. You can bet every penny you've got in your bank account that they will never, ever let the populace decide anything like that. It will always be backdoor deals, you know, right at midnight, you know, appropriation bills. And so that's why they changed the Mississippi state flag. It was an amendment on a finance bill, and it was, you know, about 11:30 at night, and they had to get it done before midnight. And that slimeball governor pushed that through. And the same thing changing the Georgia flag. That was the same way they did it. They were not going to let the people in Georgia vote on that. and Coca-Cola and that clown that runs Home Depot, well, I've forgotten what his name is, they were the ones that threw the money into that campaign to get the Georgia State flag. That's why I never go to Home Depot. So,
talking glad you told me that, Gene. Referendums. What
I'll never go again.
We don't allow. I don't remember that we've even had a referendum in Kentucky on something like that.
No.
It seems like in California they're always having referendums.
Yeah, and but they don't follow it. People
vote overwhelmingly for something, and
they get that screwball ninth district court out there with all those idiot liberal judges to throw it out. So why did they spend all the money and all that time for Proposition 1, Proposition 27, Proposition 89, and let people vote on it when they know all the liberals have to do is turn around and run to that Ninth Circuit Court out there, and they'll throw it out. So the government of this country is just a big sham. That's all it is. I mean,
say that again.
You know, 1984 is here, and it's, you know, being done and ripped off and everything like that. Well, look at Tennessee. We've got Slick Willie Lee. He met with members of the Sons of Confederate Veterans at a fundraising dinner when he was running for governor. And one of our members asked him right to his face, sitting across the table, will you protect our Confederate monuments and will you make sure that we keep the forest bust in the Tennessee State Capitol? Oh, yes, sir. I'm a big conservative. I'm going to protect our monuments, blah, 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 blah. The lying SOB wasn't in office 6 months, and he started crawfishing and backing out. And then he did the same thing that this naming commission did.
We got to go to our first break of the third hour. Bitter End will be right back.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, if there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people, unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio audience, Jock Ewing was so right on, spot on. Real power is something we're going to have to take. If we're ever going to get away from this crime cabal, this Jewish Bolshevik, Satan-worshipping, communist, criminal cabal, these pedophiles, these drug takers, the scum that make Satan blush. If we're ever going to have any liberty, ever going to have control our own destiny in our own hands. We're going to have to get them the hell out of our life. We're going to have to take it. They're not going to give it to us. We're not going to get it by voting. We're not going to get it by writing letters or phone calls. They laugh in our face. They spit in our face. We're going to have to get the hell away from them one way or the other. Back to you, Brother Brother Bitterender.
Yeah, just before we cut off from the break, we're talking about our governor, Bill Slick Willie Lee in Tennessee. And he got the forest bust out of the state capitol. It's been there since the early 1970s. And so the chicken rat that he is, he appointed a bunch of blacks and backstabbing whites. You know, there's so many whites out there that hate their own race on the Capitol Commission. And he knew how they were going to vote. And so he can say, oh, no, I didn't take it down. I didn't get the forest bust moved out of the state capitol. It was the Capitol Commission that did it. Well, what a cowardly weasel that sorry clown is. And I voted for him once. I made that mistake once. I actually believed him. And I voted for him when he first ran. And then when he ran for re-election this past November, I wrote in Nathan Bedford Forrest. I wasn't going to dignify the election with voting for the opposition candidate. So we had a lot of people across the state that wrote in Forrest. I mean, the SCV was pushing that. And I don't know how many votes Forrest got, and I'm sure they won't ever tell us. The election commission won't ever tell us. We were hoping it'd be really close, and he would lose by 2,000 or 3,000 votes, and 2,000 or 3,000 people voted for Forrest, and that cost him the election, but it didn't happen. I think the Democrats ran Joe Nobody or somebody, so it wasn't much of a contest, but anyway. So that's the whole point, is that it's a rigged deal, and they have these things set up. And like I said at the first of the previous segment, they will never, ever, ever let the ordinary people vote on an issue like that. It will always be a midnight backdoor deal that they cut to get it out. And you can't trust these political clowns, these rhinos. And, of course, we know how the Democratic Communist Party members are going to vote. So these Republicans that tell us they're conservatives are just lying dogs, because they'll stab us in the back.
I was going to mention, did you all look at the names of that were recommended for the renaming of some of the forts?
Oh, they're horrible. You've never heard of these people. They're just, politically correct slugs.
Well, two of them I've heard of. One is Evil Ike. Eisenhower was one of them that was going to be renamed. But do you know who Dr. Mary Walker is?
Never heard of it.
Okay, well, I'll tell you who she is. And she's a bad one. I don't know. I'm going to question you on this. Do you know about the Roswell Women of Georgia?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, I didn't know if you would know that, because
I missed out.
They were hauled off as slave labor. They took them off during the war.
You know where they came to?
No.
To my town. They came to my town.
Oh, gosh.
And they hauled them all the way from north of Atlanta, from New Manchester, Sweetwater, and Roswell area, from over 400, mainly women and children. They were working in a mill there in mm-hmm. Roswell. They were abused. They were put kind of in an encampment for a while in the city, in the center of a town. And later they were hauled up here, I guess, on the back of wagons and different kinds of carriages. They came to Louisville, and they were placed in a prison here in Louisville. And it was considered they call it a refugee prison or refugee camp. And you know what they were doing? I have proof that these people were being used as domestic servants. They were offered as domestic servants in the classified ads. They were sent up to Indianapolis, and some of them ended up forced into Indiana mills, other mills, because that was their work. They had been working in mills, so they were sent to Indiana mills, various mills, some of them right across the Ohio. And most of these people never got back to Atlanta. Sure, when they were released, again, a woman on her own, how's she going to walk back to Atlanta? Very few of them. We do know of one here in Cave Hill Cemetery. We do know that Elizabeth Timms was one of these Roswell women. What I'm getting at, the fort, is they're going to name Dr. Mary Walker. Believe it or not, she was a Yankee who got a Medal of Honor. She dressed like a man. She may have been, I don't know, kind of funny. She was the one who treated the women from Roswell here in Louisville, and she abused them. It's even written up in documents. They complained about her abuse. I'm looking at a book that I ordered several years ago called Charged with Treason, The Ordeal of 400 Mill Workers During Military Operations in Roswell, Georgia, 1864 to 1865. And believe it or not, it's by one of my distant relatives, Michael D. Hitt, and he mentions Dr. Mary Walker, one that these naming commission wants to name a fort after.
Well, yeah, I've read the list, and I didn't know that information about her, but none of the people that they're going to change the names of these military posts to, none of them had any military experience, or if it did, it was minimal. But every name they're changing, every one of those Southerners served in the United States Army, and they laid their life on the line in the war with Mexico, the Seminole Wars, or some of the wars the United States government fought. They volunteered to serve the United States military, and this is how the United States military is going to thank them, by taking their name off the military post or the military base that was named after them. And if not a reason to never volunteer for the United States military again, that's a great reason about that right there.
Absolutely. And here's one of the statements. It says, the woke naming commission sends a clear message to Southerners that they can bleed and die, but they're not welcome unless they denounce their own families as traitors, which is not true. Not true.
Yeah. But that's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
It's absolutely, it's just despicable. And I say this, to me, this is the camel that is going to break the back. Our culture, if this magnificent, absolutely unreplaceable work of art by Moses Ezekiel is destroyed, I mean, that to me is just it's the ultimate insult. Ultimate insult. You know, they've taken the... nobody could replicate that. No way. We don't have the artists who could do that. We don't have the sculptors who can do that.
And I've read about it. They're not going to give that or let somebody have that and move it to private property somewhere. They're going to destroy it, smash it to pieces, melt it down, make Martin Luther King medallions out of it or some garbage like that. And, you know, so nobody can ever put it up somewhere and have it shown.
Their main complaint, really, is that there are black servants holding a white baby and black Confederates. That's their main complaint, in my opinion. And
they can't have that.
That's basically it. That's why they're crying foul.
Yeah. Dedicated in 1914 and unveiled by President Woodrow Wilson, June 1914. And been there since then. And the whole point behind it was a reconciliation between the North and South. And the presidents before him, and I can't remember who they were, but they all signed off on it. They thought it was great to bring the country back together after the war. And so many Southerners had served in the Spanish-American War in 1898. And this was a way of symbolizing that, reuniting the country. And now these clowns are trying to tear this country apart, which is fine with me. You know, tear it apart, let the North go, and we'll have the South, and the hell with them. You know, they need us more than we need them. So,
well, it's similar to what they did here, right here in Louisville. We had a magnificent equestrian statue of Castleman, and he was actually the founder of the Kentucky Saddlebred. That they were the ones who actually put up this magnificent equestrian statue. And because he fought in the Confederacy, I think it's I think he was involved in St. Albans.
We got to go to a quick break. Hear the music. Be right back, folks. After this quick break, we're going to go right back to Sister Nancy. She's going to take up where she left off after this break. Hang on.
Daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. The U.S. Treasury Secretary is putting Congress on notice that the nation will hit its debt limit next week. Janet Yellen notified lawmakers her department will begin taking necessary steps to avoid a default once the debt limit is reached. In a letter to Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, Yellen urged Congress to act promptly to protect the full faith and credit of the United States. The White House is confirming that five more classified documents were discovered at President Biden's home in Wilmington, Delaware. New York Times reporter Charlie Savage.
The biggest question raised by this on its face is, why did the White House say on Thursday, hey, there was one more record found in the space next to Biden's garage? And then it turns out there were six more pages of classified documents found next to his garage.
Savage tells MSNBC it's an obvious question to ask. Now, the total number of classified materials discovered at Biden's home and old office is around two dozen. Migrants being housed at a Manhattan hotel say they're being given rotten food by New York City. The migrants say the food smells and looks spoiled, is cooked poorly, and leaves kids at Row Hotel in a condition that resembles food poisoning. Mayor Eric Adams says the food's okay and the migrants are just picky. Speaking of the mayor, Eric Adams, he's heading south. Well, actually, southwest.
Eric Adams is visiting the Lone Star State as New York City struggles to deal with the large number of migrants and asylum seekers that have traveled to the Big Apple. Adams will visit several cities in Texas and make a few stops along the U.S.-Mexico border. New York is looking for state and federal help in dealing with the nearly 40,000 migrants that have made their way to New York City. I'm John Schaefer.
More than 50,000 people are without power as yet another atmospheric river moves into the state of California. Sacramento appears to be affected the most. This is USA News.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. And it's true, the typical family switching to MediShare saves $500 or more a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people, but what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members, they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it really is a great community too. People encourage and pray for each other. And here's the thing, if you join MediShare Complete right now, they'll waive your new member fees and you'll save an additional 10% off all of 2023. That's right. No fee to join, 10% off every month of next year, but it's a very limited time offer. You have to sign up before January 15th. Great savings, great health care. Find out more. Call now. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Oh, dear Blood River family, welcome back. We just got Rand coming back. Rand's going to be on in just a minute. God bless him. God kept his house from getting wiped out. But here's what we're going to do. Sister Nancy is going to finish up her statement, and then we're going to go right back to Brother Rand. He's have a quick statement he'd like to make. But before we do that, I'm going to say this. We're always talking about solutions. You need to listen to this show when we have Sister Nancy on, especially, and Gene, Brother Gene, the Bitter Ender, because they are historians excellence, par excellence. You need to remember what they're saying. If you have to, listen to this. Go back and listen to the archives and type up, make notes. And listen, here's the solution I got for you. Everybody and his mama lives close to a National Guard base. You need to do this. You need to make up some historical page of history. You know, what we've been talking about. Maybe about the true, about these, changing the names of the forts, about Holocaust, about, you know, who really started the so-called Lincoln's War. Hand those out to these dumb guys, these poor, empty-brain kids that think they're serving mom and apple pie. Let them know that they're serving a Zog, Satan-worshipping government that hates their guts. Let them know. Tell them flat out. You can prove that they're good, that they'll be accepted. They can bleed and die and get all kinds of mental illness and get their limbs blown off for Zog. But thank you, Charlie Shafto, when it comes time for you to get any kind of honor. So that's what you do. Make out pamphlets, go out and hand out these people and tell them to get the hell out of that military. Go back to you, Sister Nancy.
Yeah, I just want to briefly speak about the artist who designed the Confederate Arlington Monument. His name was Moses Ezekiel. He actually was possibly the first Jew to graduate from VMI. He was in the Battle of New Market, and when the Yankees burned down VMI, he went on to study at some kind of shelter they created. So he did graduate. He studied art and ended up, he got many awards. He went to Europe, studied mainly, he practiced mainly in Rome. And he won many awards overseas. My interest, I worked with some Europeans. We were trying to determine where was Moses Ezekiel buried when he died, because he was not buried in underneath the Confederate monument until 1921. He had died much earlier than that. And we didn't think he'd be buried in a Catholic cemetery. But with help, some of my European friends and some people who lived in Rome, we were able to actually prove without a doubt that Moses Ezekiel was buried in the crypt that he designed for a Roman family who was the Rossi family, and they were a famous a family of poets. And because he was going to be there his body was going to be there for a temporary period, and it was during the First World War, he was allowed to be buried in a Catholic cemetery, which would not be normal for a Jew to be allowed in Europe to be buried in a Catholic cemetery. But because he had influential friends, and he himself was very well known, the wife of Rossi was Bosse was an American. So there was a connection that he had a deep friendship with these people. And that is the way that he ended up being held during the First World War. He always, always wanted to be buried underneath his magnificent monument to the reconciliation of the North and South. And there again, these people want to remove not only a historic and magnificent statue, but they are removing the marker for his grave. And I think there are a couple of other people who are buried right under that monument, but there's 400 Confederates in concentric circle around the monument. But I want to pitch out one other thing. In the city of Louisville, there is a fantastic, fantastic monument to Thomas Jefferson. 99.9% of the people do not realize that this was the work of Moses Ezekiel. His name is even carved into the bronze. Now, he also did a replica of the same monument at Charlottesville. So that's kind of a brief history of Moses Ezekiel.
One more thing I'd like to add to that, Nancy, if I might. Do you know who recommended that he go to Europe and to Rome and study art and sculpturing? The president of Washington College, Robert E. Lee. And he met with Lee there in Lexington. And Lee was the one that was so impressed with his desire and his sketches and things that he'd done that Lee recommended that if this is what you want to do as your life's work, go for it. And he recommended that he travel to Europe, where most of the great sculptors were at that time, and study under them and improve his artistic ability.
Yeah,
so it had quite a few Confederate ties and Southern ties to this monument that was put up there. And, you know, and like we were saying, it was a reconciliation between both countries, the Confederate States and the United States. So
it
anyway.
It didn't work out too well, did it?
not in the last 100 years, no.
No.
It's 1914.
We should have never reconciled with the Yankees.
No, just carried on a guerrilla war for 20 or 30 years until they finally got tired of it. Yeah, turn it into another Vietnam and Afghanistan. So.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, go ahead and let Rand get on there and tell us what's going on down in Alabama. And certainly glad to hear that he dodged the bullet. So y'all go ahead.
Come on, Rand. I was going to say, wave you on in, brother. It's a nice surprise. We didn't think you were going to make it today. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Gene and Eddie. And I hate to interrupt the flow of the show, but first of all, if I could, I want to thank my Lord Yahweh for protecting us and protecting our livestock, our dogs, our cats, pretty much unscathed. A little minor damage, but really nothing without power a couple of nights. But got the power back on. Praise the Lord for that. But I don't even really know what it was. When I first tuned in, I finally come in. I've been running a skid steer, fixing fence, and helping neighbors down the road. Like I know y'all done talked about it. Some total destruction 300-400 yards away from where I'm sitting right now. But it's been a kind of, it pulls people together, and we're in a good community. But something caught my ear when I first tuned in. I don't know if it was Gene or Miss Nancy about along the lines of servitude, and it just struck me. You know, we're all servants, and you know, if you think about it, being a servant for the right folks, that can improve your lifestyle. That can put you in a pretty good position. So it seems to me that if you can benefit, if it benefits you to be a servant, why not be a, what's so bad about being a servant? We all servants. We're all servants. We're just at different levels of servitude.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're talking about being a servant to Christ, Rand? Is that what you're talking about?
For Christ, to your job, to ever who you work for, or ever who you work with, or when you work for you, whatever, you know, we all serve. So we get up every day and do something, right? So we're serving, and whether it's our livelihood or whatever, we all have to get up. We all laborers. That's what we all go out and labor. Or at least we should. You know, a lot of people, I guess now, don't want to labor too much. But I mean, for instance, you know, on my daddy's side, I know for sure they my granddaddy, they were sharecroppers. You know, if they didn't make a crop, they had to move on.
My grandparents on my mother's side were sharecroppers over in Arkansas, about as the crow flies 50, 60 miles from here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
Well, anyway.
Kind of hard for me to feel.
We got to go to our last break. Well, hang on, folks. We got to go to this our last break. Hang on if you want to, Rand. But people, we'll be right back. I cannot believe this third hour is just about gone. Be right back, folks.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
A Venus is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question: do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, dear people, welcome back. This is the last hour, man. I'm about to run out of notes anyway, and I'm getting like old Sleepy Joe. I can't remember who I am, what I am. So that being the case, we're going to go back to Sister Nancy. She's got this quote she wants to read us all, y'all. And I'd like to say she has done one hell of a job putting this show together tonight. She's pretty much been constructed the second and third hour tonight. So back to you, Sister Nancy Hitt.
Yeah, this was actually just a quote from an esteemed British art critic and historian, Alexander Adams, with reference to the Arlington Confederate Monument. He says, "Having viewed a large amount of public statuary from the Beaux Arts era, that's 1850 to 1914, it is my professional opinion that the memorial is a serious, iconographically complex, and technically accomplished piece of art. In my view, it is a handsome sculpture and an entirely appropriate monument. I consider it an internationally significant piece of art of its type and era. Any nation should be proud to host such a magnanimous and dignified monument." End of quote.
No, Gene, our statue we had here in Memphis is up there in around the Forrest home now. You know, the statue of the general, Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Yes, sir.
I've been told that there's no way that that piece of art could ever be replicated. Just like Sister Nancy said, the Confederate monument up there in Arlington. The craftsmen, I've been told that the craftsmen are no longer on earth. They've all the ones that the skill, they've taken it to the grave. It just couldn't be done. But you know more about that than I do. What about that?
Well, I've heard, and I will admit I've forgotten the sculptor's name. It wasn't Moses Ezekiel that did the forest equestrian statue at Forest Park in Memphis before the lower primates had that taken down. That was one of the greatest equestrian statues anywhere in the world. Just how Forrest was positioned on that horse and the way the horse was standing there and had his head partially turned. And the commanding presence of Forrest astride that horse, it was something that would inspire you to go into combat, to see somebody like that as a leader. And basically, Eddie and Nancy, what we have to realize, that's why they don't want statues of the Confederate soldiers at Arlington or Lee in Charlottesville or on Monument Avenue with Jackson and Jefferson Davis and Forrest in Memphis. This country has sunk so low and has been run by so much garbage, they don't want heroes held up and remind people of what great leadership we used to have. And now we are led by an election-stealing, senile, drooling idiot that wouldn't be good enough to come along behind Forrest and clean up after the horses that paraded up and down the street. I don't think he could do it. I don't think Biden could do that unless he had notes. You know, pick up that brown pile over there. Pick up this brown pile over here. They would have to write it out for him to figure out how to do that. And so it's, you know, they know that none of the leadership, Republican, Democrat, whatever, national leadership in this country could ever match up to those people. The integrity, the Christian devotion that they had, the laying their life on the line for their country, and they led from the front. They didn't stay back in Washington and send orders out. We don't have anybody that could come close to matching that. So you have to wipe out all of the memory of the real exceptional leaders that we used to have in this country. And they're tearing down Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, all their statues as well, because it's an embarrassment to what we have today. And one other thing, I've heard people upset that they've changed the name of a lot of high schools, Nathan Bedford Forrest High School in Jacksonville, Florida, and Lee and Jefferson Davis and all this. To be honest, I don't think I'd want my name associated with a school where graduates can't even read their diplomas. And it's so pitiful what it has. I wouldn't want my name associated with that. So, you know, it's a defeat for us to have that name removed. But you look at the student body now, how it's changed in these sections of these cities have changed, and you have a representative from the Confederacy in a part of the city that is turned into just total garbage. And of course they don't want somebody like that there, because, you know, Forrest could actually read and write. And ones that graduate from these schools today can't do that, and they don't want that reminder there.
Gene, that's another thing. With that little note that I sent you, you know, a lot of times they like to blast Nathan Bedford Forrest as being illiterate. I think my note proved otherwise.
Oh, yeah. He was, you know, and he used the spellings of that time. You know, they didn't spell the same way we do today.
Sure.
And and punctuation and grammar and things like that. No, he wasn't illiterate. He was a multimillionaire by today's standards.
That's right.
By the time the war came along, he was worth well over $1.5 million, which today would be about $40 to $45 million. And a dummy is not going to run businesses and make money like that. So, that's just another slam that they've come up with.
Isn't his statue at Columbia, at the Sons of Confederate Veterans? It's not at your place.
No, no, it's over at the Confederate Museum and
Sons of
Confederate Veterans National Headquarters at Elm Springs in Columbia, Tennessee. General and Mrs. Forrest were buried there last September, in September 21.
And they're buried underneath the statue again?
They will be. They are buried,
and
they poured a concrete slab over it, and they had a dedication when they were reburied there. And then the statue has been brought out of where it was in storage in Columbia and set on the ground close to the grave. So if you go there, you can see the grave sites and the statue. And right now they're raising money to build that pedestal over the graves and put the statue back up on top. So eventually it will look just like it did at Forest Park in Memphis.
Oh, wonderful. Thank God.
How can we get money?
That's wonderful. That's fantastic.
How can we get money, Gene, to get that? I'm sorry, Sister Nancy. Gene, how can the people, if we have anybody who would like to contribute money to get that pedestal made, how can they do that, Gene?
You can send that to the Sons of Confederate Veterans Headquarters. It's Post Office Box 59, Columbia, Tennessee, 38402, and mark it for the Forrest statue. So they'll make sure it goes to that.
That's something that needs to be done. That's very important. And I'd just like to reiterate what we said earlier. People, our history is being erased, going down the memory hole faster at the speed of light. You need to pay attention. And I'm not just me, not the Blood River, but we've got two stellar historians that they're giving you history that you belong to this. This is your history. If you're a white person, white Christian person, especially in the South, even in the North, these the white people in the South, the white people in the Lincoln's War, Gene pointed out, they don't have people like that anymore. But the one attribute I admire most about them is their raw courage they had against overwhelming odds. You can't find that. And as far as General Forrest being educated or not, I tell you what, he was educated enough to kick the hell out of every Yankee general they sent against him. But you need to pay attention, folks, to this history, and teach your children this history. Back to you, Sister Nancy.
Well, I was just going to say he didn't have much respect for West Point graduates either. He was
out of them.
He was self-taught. And he was fantastic. I've read quite a few books about him. He's great. This is kind of funny, and I just want to read this one statement. It's by I've been reading about Governor Zeb Zebulon Vance. He was twice, or I think three times, elected governor of North Carolina. And he fought in the Civil War. And he says the Republican Party has been begotten by a scallywag out of a mulatto and born in an outhouse.
He was being too nice.
How did he really feel? Now, that's kind of beating around the bush, but how did he really feel about our enemy's government?
Well, I think he was being too nice, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Hey, y'all talked about have y'all? I'm sorry to interrupt, but have y'all already talked about Monday being Robert E. Lee Day?
Well, say it again, because we people like me, we learn by repetition. But go ahead, Ram.
Yeah, well, what I'm getting at is how it burns me up that Monday is Robert E. Lee Day, but all you hear about on, all your radio stations, I mean, even if it's a little like a rock and roll station or whatever, it's Martin Luther King Day.
And it's, Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Well, you just have to adjust your schedule there, Rand. On Mugging, Looting, and Killing Day, I always work on a Confederate project. And then I take off on the 19th of January, which is Robert E. Lee's birthday. And in Tennessee, we used to have three Confederate holidays, January 19th for Lee, June the 3rd for Jefferson Davis, and July 21st for Nathan Bedford Forrest. But, of course, they wiped all of those out. And now we're forced to observe these federal holidays like the federally mandated holiday on the third Monday in January and President's Day. And the reason they made it President's Day, because in the South, nobody would celebrate Lincoln's birthday. They would celebrate Washington's birthday in February, but they refused to celebrate Lincoln's birthday. So they had to combine them and call it President's Day and give everybody another Monday off, another three-day weekend to make sure that they could run Lincoln in there on us and have that lying dictator crammed down our throats.
Yeah. Brother Rich said that go ahead, Rand.
I just wanted to tell Gene, I agree 100% what he said about the names of the schools. Why in the hell would we want to have our heroes at the name of those places at this time and day?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Absolutely.
Plant
an embarrassment.
Of the apes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Unfortunately,
let them name them whatever they want to name them.
Yeah, and unfortunately, our private schools aren't much better. When I started coaching, I coached at a school in Nashville called Franklin Road Academy. It was right on the Nashville battlefield, and the student body voted unanimously to have the nickname Rebels, because when we built the football field, we were digging up buckets of shell fragments and mini balls from where the Confederate lines were on the 16th of December. And then they got a bunch of transplant Yankees and turncoat Southerners that came in there. And one of them was a big dollar, had a lot of money, and he offered to pay off a lot of the debt on the athletic department, build all this fantastic stuff, if they would change the nickname. And now they're the, I don't know what they are, the posterior kissers or whatever, something like that. Anyway, they're not the rebels anymore, and they've discarded all of that Confederate history that they had there. And like I said, the football field and baseball field were built right smack on the battlefield of the 16th of December, where the Confederate lines were during the Battle of Nashville. So, but they're so politically correct, and they've got that now. And that's one reason I got out of coaching. I couldn't stand seeing that nonsense going on. And it's all about the money and who's going to put up the money to do this. And they bailed out. They stabbed their ancestors in the back for the almighty dollar. And I hope they got more than 30 pieces of silver that Judas got, but I'm sure they did.
Well, folks,
and
I hear music.
The tentacles run deep. The tentacles run deep. That's what
yes, they do. Well, people, dear Blood River Radio audience, we've run completely out of time. I would like to thank everybody for coming on tonight, Rand and Gene and Miss Nancy, Miss Monica. I'd like to thank Miss Lizzie and Jay for producing this show, for doing their excellent job at the board. I'd like to thank all of our Blood River Radio audience for tuning in tonight. If people tune in same time next week, the 21st, and Brother Gene said that it's Nathan Bedford Forrest's birthday, we surely don't want to forget that. Maybe the bitter end will remind me. Well, anybody, thanks a lot for tuning in, and good night.